At the end of the film, Superman, our action hero in the red cape, flies rings around the Earth so fast that the world starts spinning backwards. Now, we know that that is scientifically ridiculous, but when you're tucking into a chalk top, do you really care? Well, recently, Ali Benton met a guy who does. Dr. Jonathan Farley is a Harvard mathematician who's sick of the misrepresentation of science and maths in Hollywood films. And he started his own consultancy firm. He's done something about it. He's offering himself up to the filmmakers who want to get the science and the maths in their films right. Farley says audiences want authenticity on the big screen, but when it comes to Hollywood blockbusters, does authenticity actually make a better film? Ali Benton's been looking into it.
If it's a fast chip.
Fast chip.
Obi-Wan says, if it's a fast chip.
You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
And Han Solo says, the fast chip. You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
When I spoke to Harvard mathematician Jonathan Farley, he told me that the parsec scene in Star Wars was precisely the reason he wanted to be a maths consultant to Hollywood. George Lucas got it wrong. Actually, says Jonathan, a parsec is a measurement of distance, not time. It was time to go to the real expert, Chris Brennan, head of the Star Wars fan club in Australia. Now, I didn't get the answer I expected. Chris went into a long explanation as to why George Lucas was wrong.
What the fans have decided is that what Han Solo is referring to is the fact that the Millennium Falcon is actually...
Anyway, the point is, the parsecs debate has been around in the Star Wars fan world for a long time. The fans do take notice of the science and maths depicted on the big screen. So for a hardcore sci-fi fan like Chris Brennan, does the depiction of accurate science and maths in film matter?
I think when it comes to the movies, it is important to get it right. There was a number of things in the movie Armageddon, for example, where they had they were on an asteroid and they heard someone coming up behind them, whereas you'd know they're in a vacuum of space, sound doesn't travel, they're wearing helmets, no sound's going to penetrate the helmet. How can you hear someone coming up behind you? So in a movie, it's important to get those sort of things correct. It can be very, very annoying to someone who's watching a film to find glaring errors like that popping up.
Whilst Jonathan Farley says he doesn't expect sci-fi films to be scientifically accurate, he and his colleague Dr. Lizzie Burns want filmmakers to move away from storylines that are scientifically implausible.
Dr. Lizzie Burns, my collaborator at the University of Oxford, is upset by James Bond. So, for example, in the last movie, Die Another Day, there's a character who's supposed to be from North Korea, and he changes his appearance so that he becomes European, and they explain this through gene therapy. Lizzie prefers to see changes like that explained with maybe facelifts or something that was more sensible.
So we've heard from the sci-fi fan and the maths boffin, but what does the film critic say about a filmmaker's responsibility to get it right on screen?
You can't win with film. It is an interpretive medium, bottom line. And I think it is the onus is on the artist and the filmmaker to be as respectful, authentic and truthful as they can. But it's a story. It's a fiction. When you put that camera there, it's mediated and something's going to get distorted in that process. No matter how hard you try, you surrender to that, you can live with it. I guess, in a sense, you know, the Harvard professor is being a bit nitpicky and pedantic, but I think it's actually got more to do with the fact that mathematicians and scientists historically in film and television have been represented as social retards, as nerds, and they want to bring some currency and respect back into the business. I kind of sympathise with that, but at the other end of it, I just go, I really don't care that much.
Mathematician Jonathan Farley says that when it comes to maths and science, filmmakers need to go beyond the stereotypes. But then I got completely confused. He started telling me an absolute ripper of a yarn about all the crazy mathematicians he knows.
And I've got to tell you that a lot of the mathematicians I knew at Oxford really were mad.
Tell me about that.
Well, I knew one guy who was a professor at Oxford, and when he spoke to you, he would literally spin around like a top while he was talking. And sometimes in reverse direction. And I don't know if he was ever aware of it himself, but it was fairly odd.
So do we even care whether the storylines in our Hollywood blockbusters are scientifically plausible? Well, I know when I've got big picture questions like this, I head to the guy who works at my local video shop.
It's like a pet peeve. You don't want to think about it, but it's going to come back again. And you just want to say, that's wrong. It's not that way. It's this way.
Andrew says he can suspend his disbelief with sci-fi. But when films like The Core, released in 2003, use real science and turn it into gobbledygook, he gets really pissed off.
Like The Core, they tried to have some scientific facts behind it and stuff like that, but it failed miserably there, I say. For The Core, it didn't do well for me. And I looked it up on the internet and it's just a lot of things were just wrong, totally wrong.
Even the website, Insultingly Stupid Movie Physics, nominated The Core as the worst physics movie ever. The movie is so bad, they gave it a rating of XP, meaning obviously physics from an unknown universe.
So many Hollywood movies, for example, The Core, are made by committee. You know, they might have all that stuff in there, play it to an audience, and, you know, the test audience will go, I don't understand that, so they'll just chop shit out and just keep in the other stuff just to entertain people or to numb them. And also there is, like I said, a committee of studio executives who don't care anything about that stuff. All that matters in the end to them with movies of that size and budgets of that size is money, is recouping the costs and making a huge profit.
The question still remains, was The Core crap because of the bad science? If Jonathan Farley had been working as a consultant on the film, could he have rescued it from becoming a box office flop? Or was Hilary Swank's bad facial expressions in the film going to make it flop anyway? I guess we'll never know.
So when you walk into a film, you've got your popcorn, you've switched off your phone, you've made sure your wallet's in the bottom of your bag so it doesn't get nicked. Do you need a critical mind?
Yeah, I think you do. Not always. No, you do. Actually, you do. In every film I've ever watched my whole life, if I haven't bought something, if I've thought, no, that's bullshit, I've usually reacted negatively unless they can compensate with something else that I find entertaining or compelling.
But isn't bullshit another word for fiction?
Yeah, but, you know, like Truffaut said, film was life, you know? So it depends on how heavily you want to buy into film and whether you have a life like I don't.
Bring on that piano. Triple J film reviewer Megan Spencer theorising there about the meaning of life on screen. Ali Benton with that story. And the premise of it is from mathematician Jonathan Farley that he reckons Hollywood sometimes, all the time, perhaps, misrepresents the maths and science world. We want other stories of outrage. What films have misrepresented your profession? Give us a call, 1-800-055-36. Particularly like to hear from women. 1-800-055-36. Maybe you're a lawyer who's sick of all that over-the-top courtroom drama that doesn't represent your job. Maybe you're a scientist who hates watching sci-fi, or an athlete who hates jock films because they get it all the time wrong. It's wrong all the time with those jock films. 1-800-055-36. 1-800-055-36. Gabrielle?
Hello.
How you going?
Not too shabby.
You work as a nurse in a hospital, right?
Yeah, I'm just training for one at the moment.
Uh-huh. So your hospital would be a simmering hotbed of unrequited passion, according to all nursing dramas?
Oh, absolutely. You wouldn't believe the tales of suspense and romance I see every day. I think of it more like Seinfeld episode when I watch ER or All Saints.
What really pisses you off about hospital drama?
It's just supposed to be taken so seriously, like everyone's in a romantic relationship and if someone's after another, but in reality, you don't have any time for any of that. It's always focused on the patient.
Yes, that's a very good point. Thanks, Gabrielle. 1-800-055-36. Ryan?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks. What are you working?
I've been working in the IT industry for over 6 years, mate, and I absolutely hate the way they portray computers in the movies these days.
Tell us why.
Well, a good example is the movie Hackers. Basically, when they're going in to try and hack into the main systems, all the pretty graphics and information that they see displayed across their screens is not like that at all.
Okay, so do they need to employ you, Ryan?
Sorry, most certainly.
Well, are you offering your services to the Hollywood industry?
I most certainly would. I would love to do that. I would give it a little bit more realism, I think.
And what about how fast you can actually hack into a system in the films?
Well, again, that's a bit of a myth as well. Like you see in a few of them, you know, in under a minute somebody's within a system. It doesn't actually happen that way, really. If you're really going, if you're really going to do it, it's going to take you a fair bit of decent time to set up and prepare for it all.
Ryan, what about the way computer scientists are portrayed, looks and clothing sense-wise?
Well, see, that's also a bit of a fallacy. Like, I have a degree in computer science, and I'm your run-of-the-mill muso. So, you know, I've got the long hair, piercings, you know, everything like that. I look nothing like the little boffins that they show us with the glasses and buck teeth, basically.
And grey slip-on shoes.
Well, that's it.
Ryan, you need to get a job in the movie industry to... make your reputation a little bit better. 1-800-055-36. Alan. Alan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Hi there. You're a pool serviceman.
That's right, yes.
So, the porn industry.
That's where I think it comes from, yeah.
Yes.
The reputation. I was trying to work out what movie, you know, it all comes from, but, you know.
It's just the whole porn industry, isn't it?
I think so. I don't know. You'd think I'd know better coming from Canberra being the porn capital, but...
Yes.
You know, I can only imagine.
So cleaning a pool in Fishwick, that sounds like, you know, a great script for a film.
Well, it could be. I don't know. I don't know any writers out there.
So you never have the lonely housewife try to bed you?
Well, I've been in the industry for nearly 10 years and, you know, I'd probably say that there were, in that time, maybe twice that... You know, I felt a bit uncomfortable, I suppose, but, yeah.
Anything else about the movie industry and how they treat your profession?
Oh, it's just, you know, pretty much the way we look, you know, buff bodies and G-strings. And
short shorts.
Yeah, short shorts and, you know.
Lots of coconut oil.
That's the one, yeah.
But do you have a good tan, Alan?
Only on my arms and face, yeah.
Oh, so you got the good old T-shirt tan.
Oh, mate, I certainly do. I can't go to the beach anymore.
Thanks for that, Alan. 1-800-055-36. We're talking about professions and which ones the movies represent properly. We know that they don't really do that. Jeremy is a taxi driver.
That's right, Steve.
You're talking to me?
Oh, man. Do you know how many times I get that?
I can imagine.
It's just stupid. That is my major gripe. But the other thing that sort of pisses me off is that in a lot of American films, you always see people getting out of the cab and they hand over this wad of cash and say, keep the change.
Yeah, and that never happens, does it? That might happen in a tipping culture like America.
It does happen sometimes, but I mean, most of the time you've got somebody waiting for, you know, 10, 15 minutes for you to count the 5-cent pieces you've got in the bottom of your bag.
Yes, people are very tight with cab drivers and they don't really deserve it. What else in the film industry is not representative of your profession?
I think there are a lot of films that cab drivers are represented as these sort of, you know, psychotic social retards or, you know, gun-toting, crazy, ethnic, jihad, touting. I'm running out of adjectives here.
Yeah, but I have been in those cabs with guys listening to AM talk radio.
That's quite true. Actually, that's one thing about that, you know, isn't necessarily from the films, but, you know, most cab drivers are fat and they do listen to AM radio and it's, you know, it's usually John Laws.
Jeremy, have you ever been asked to follow that car?
Oh, no, sadly no. And I've never had Mila Jovovich fall out of a window with a wrap on and orange hair.
Yes, not...
To help her.
Not many of us have. Thanks for your call, Jeremy. 1-800-055-36. Hi, Sandra.
Hi there. It's not a professional thing, more of a principal thing. It's when they've got Italians talking on movies or commercials like Kerry Ann Kennelly and it sounds nothing like Italian and it doesn't even make sense.
Oh, okay, so where you get a Anglo to do an Italian accent or Italian language, like the Kate Fisher tomato pasta sauce thing?
Or even a stereotype in a movie and they've got the stereotype black and aprons and they can't speak Italian properly. And it frustrates me as a first-generation Italian. Imagine all those Italians watching.
How do you feel about mafia films?
Oh, they're not too bad because they've got that Sicilian slang, but it's those...
What about The Sopranos?
Yeah, I love The Sopranos. But it's those corny Italian movies or those Legos ads that really shit me.
Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you.
See you at 1-800-055-36. Lisa.
Oh, hi.
Hi, you're a PI.
Yeah.
So what cliches do you have to put up with through the film industry?
Well, the myth that we actually have any power and or influence at all. It actually works quite well because, you know, people who watch these movies, you know, with investigators in them, think that they know what they're doing and they have the inside, you know, knowledge on everything.
Right. So, Lisa, you're just admitting you don't know what you're doing.
Well, well, it's lovely because you walk into a house to interview a witness and they're automatically scared of you. So it's just a real power trip. But and I'm having a private giggle inside thinking of this person just doesn't know the truth.
Who do you think they're picturing you as, Lisa, from the film and television world?
Oh, my gosh. I can't think of a female PI, but I rather enjoyed a movie with Renee Russo in it, and she was quite powerful. So I'm thinking maybe I'm a Renee Russo type.
Sounds good to me. Lisa, thanks for your call, 1-800-055-36. Jessica, you're a beauty Hi. Therapist.
I am.
What has the film industry done to you?
All right. The whole portray that we're all just simply dumb blondes and we can't get a different job is just a load of crap. The amount of study you have to do to be a beauty therapist, the amount of crap you have to know is just phenomenal. And they just portray us as these stupid little bimbos, and that frustrates me immensely.
Okay, Jessica, name names. Which films have done this to you?
Prime example, Legally Blonde, you know, just little ditzy people going in there just have their little manicure because they're having a crap day. It's just, and, you know, the whole girl can't get the guy thing. It's, oh.
Did you shout at the screen when you saw that film?
Well, I was at home, so I punched a pillow, but no, it was close.
Thanks, Jessica. 1-800-055-36. And Prue.
How are you going?
Good. You're going to talk about Flashdance.
Yeah, I get quite shitted off with that.
Why?
I'm a boilermaker. I'm actually an apprentice.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I've copped quite a bit of shit for the whole Flashdance. I don't wear leg warmers and I don't dance for people.
So do people start doing the what a feeling to you?
Oh, yeah, you cop that quite regularly.
From the blokes?
Yeah, oh, and from other people that come in out of the industry that, oh, you're a boilermaker. Oh, that oh, what a feeling thing.
Oh, no.
Just, yeah, it's a very nasty stereotype because there's not many of us in this industry and it's just, yeah, it's really embarrassing.
No, and have you actually seen the film, Prue?
No, I by principle, I refuse to watch it. So I've seen the scene from the movie with the song, but it was embarrassing enough to know not to want to see the whole thing.
It's not very fair, is it?
No. Well, I mean, the blokes don't cop it, do they?
They don't.
No, and I'm sure they wear leg warmers.
Yeah, throw it back at them, Prue.
Yeah, I'll try.
Thanks for your call, Prue.
No worries, thank you.
And thanks to everybody who called up. We've been talking about the movie profession and how they show up your, sorry, the that profession, how they show up your profession, because there's this bloke, Jonathan Farley, he's a mathematician and he reckons Hollywood misrepresents maths and the science world. That's Hack for today and for the week. Thanks to the Hack team, Ronan Sharkey, Kath Dwyer, Luke Williams, Ali Benton and Kyla Slaven, the executive producer of Hack. We'll be back on your radio at 5:30 next Monday. Have a great weekend. It's 6 o'clock.